Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. Today, we're going to talk about discipleship.
You know, this is something that I've ended up talking to my my people about a lot.
What or who is a disciple? Well, he or she is a follower, and for our purposes, they're a follower of Jesus. And as a follower, the natural extension is that you're a servant.
There is a core of our identity, which is a deep desire to serve others. As you served in so many capacities, can you speak to us about service? Because somehow I think you're going to connect here service, disciple, apostle.
That's Father Chris, Father Christopher Metropoulos, our host on this broadcast, and I'm Mike Trout, and he's talking with Father Marcandoni about this topic, which will not only include a definition of a disciple, an apostle, a follower of Jesus, but also the journey, the unique journey for you that gets you there.
The number one thing to be led by the Spirit is just to get out there and start doing it. If you don't know where to start, do what's in front of you. And you'll find as you start to do just the things that are in front of you, before long you've learned things you never knew existed, and there will be more things in front of you to do. And after a few years, suddenly it's a whole different life. And that's really the form in which the Spirit leads us in the everyday, in the details of our lives. And you're not going to get there by bouncing things around in your head. So wherever you find yourself, the time to start is today.
That's true of so many things, isn't it? Just get out there and begin. Just do it. You'll hear that thought repeated a number of times during the conversation that we have in just a few moments. Again, this is Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, a nonprofit outreach on the web at myocn.net. And it is because of you that we are reaching around the world with the good news of the gospel as understood through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. And now with today's conversation, here's Father Chris.
Father Michael Marcandoni is the priest of the Greek Orthodox Church of the Holy Spirit in Rochester, New York. Originally from Puerto Rico, he is a veteran of the United States Army. If you're looking for a practical and applicable guide to the struggles of everyday life and what they mean spiritually, you will find Father Michael's video series on OCN called Led by the Spirit to be particularly rewarding. Father Michael has been married to his presbytera Catherine from Arequipa, Peru for 10 years, and they have two beautiful children. Father, welcome.
Thank you very much, Father Chris. Pleasure to be here.
Today we're going to speak about discipleship. So please define for us who is a disciple and what is the attitude of a disciple.
You know, this is something that I've ended up talking to my my people about a lot, because when we're looking at the scriptures, this is actually the primary title that the apostles had before they were apostles. And I think it's become its own word in English, and that has really sort of done a disservice. But in Greek, they're called mathetes, which first of all means learner. And the word disciple is Latin for the same thing. So it denotes someone who is primarily, first and foremost, a learner. And then by virtue of that learning, by virtue of that mentoring that they receive under Jesus Christ, only later are they called apostoli, or those who are sent out. And the reason why the term discipleship becomes so fundamental here is because it's an active verb. I feel that we've really done a disservice to our culture and our churches by treating learning as something that's passive. We treat it as something that you sit back, you sit in a classroom, you sit in a pew, and a professional sort of lectures at you and quizzes you, and maybe you got some of it, maybe you put it down, but it's sort of an annoyance. Whereas I think in the ancient world, and certainly when we're speaking about spiritual practice, this notion of discipleship is a very active one, one where it becomes my responsibility to learn, my responsibility to seek out and ask questions, and then my responsibility to appropriate that. In the ancient world, we get a glimpse of that, the Socratic method, upon which so much of our modern thought is based, was primarily asking and answering questions, but it was on the student's responsibility to ask the question. Or when you're looking at martial art instruction in Japan, for example, things would be shown, but it was the responsibility of the student to work the details out. There was not a lot of explanation given. So when I'm looking at discipleship, I'm really looking at a change of mentality within our own populations, with our own parishes, to where the people start to look and say, you know, this isn't, learning this stuff isn't just the purview of a select few. It's not just the responsibility of the professional priest. And it's not just enough for me to light my candle, put my dollar in the tray, and sit down. But it's my job to come in, to learn, to absorb, to process, to ask questions, and to take ownership of my own faith. And that's really the crux of discipleship, to be an active learner.
You know, Father Michael, in today's world, many of the parents especially, they speak about wearing different hats all day long. My obligation as a parent, I'm a professional, I'm a grandparent. But there is a core of our identity, which is a deep desire to serve others, the disciple, the apostolos. More often than not, we're confused between serving ourselves and serving others. Yet, how often have we heard of those who receive so much when they've served their neighbors? So, as you served in so many capacities, can you speak to us about service? Because somehow I think you're going to connect here service, disciple, apostle.
Absolutely. You know, and this is really where we go from that moment, those two great words that we have in theology that you, Father Chris, know so well, namely praxis and theoria. And you know, in theory, we talk about what we're doing, and when we're learning, we're very often appropriating theoretical knowledge. We're learning about the Trinity. We're learning about the services. We're learning about the prayers. And then it comes time to actually do it. You know, as the fathers are very given to do, they very often use medical metaphors. So I'd like to turn to that and say, when we're looking at medicine, you know, it's one thing to have a doctor who has read all the latest medical journals. That's excellent. They'll have a wealth of information. But when you're having surgery, you want a doctor who has performed multiple surgeries. If you know you have work being done on your lungs, you want a doctor who's operated on the lungs hundreds of times in the last decade, and it's that experience that they're able to perform by virtue of the theoretical learning that really fleshes it out. But it's the doing that makes it encounterable. It's the doing that makes it visible. So I think one of the problems when we get into speaking about discipleship and looking at the theoretical knowledge is people often say, you know, Father, I've got three kids, or I've got a very demanding job, or I'm old, or I'm young, and there's sort of a disconnect. There's this theoretical churchy thing over there that I kind of feel is true and nice, but then I've still got to put gas in my car. I've still got to not blow up at my kids when, you know, I've had 3 hours of sleep and all of the rest. And so it's making the rubber meet the road. It's making those connections and saying, on the one hand, we all get that great folk advice from our mothers, you know, when we're upset, to, you know, take a deep breath and think twice before speaking. And then you get an Orthodox tradition where we're saying, you know, we've got this quick, brief Jesus prayer that can be said all the time, and hey, you know, we'll attach it to our breathing. And then suddenly, oh, wow, you know, I'm not just breathing. I'm taking a second to pray, and it really only takes a moment. And we didn't have to set aside 3 hours a day or 3 hours a morning to get in some prayer here and there, here and there. And so I think all of those different hats, rather than seeing those different roles that we find ourselves in as antithetical to a spiritual life or as totally other or as real, whereas the church's theology is theoretical and on paper, those contexts, our professional walk, our familial life, our jobs, our tempers, become sort of the context in which the content of discipleship can be known, and very much, I'd say, sort of like the wood where an icon can be painted. You know, without the actual brush strokes, you've just got paint, you've got wood, you've got raw materials, and that's the content where those raw materials can form a picture and something comprehensible can actually be made out. So I think that's where service really comes in, and that's where they tie back together.
Okay.
You're taking something on paper and making it flesh.
Is it not also that a family is in service to one another? Many people sort of overlook that. They say, well, I've got to do a soup kitchen. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I keep telling them, look, you could do those things. But if you're not a servant, a disciple in your own home, what difference does it make when you go out to do other things? So many times we get caught up in the external and we don't realize the huge blessings that come from servicing our own families. Have you seen that as well?
Absolutely, Father. I mean, it's for very good reason that in the New Testament, St. Paul says that someone who wishes to be an episcopos, because at that time the overseer, the bishop, they had families, said first he must be a husband of one wife and faithful in his own household, because if he can't manage his own household, how will he manage the household of God? And that's in the New Testament. But what I'd also say is I reiterate to my people very much that because we have so many fasting seasons and days throughout the year, takes up about half the year if you add them all up. And the fundamental component of fasting isn't the food. It is the notion of not getting my will, of not getting my way, of putting myself aside in service of something bigger than me. And nothing does that like family. Because, I mean, who knows that better than a parent? You know, a mother wants to get sleep, but she gets up, she takes care of the baby, she feeds him, she rocks him to sleep. Father may not want to be working the job that he's at, but he puts his family ahead of himself, and he clocks 20 years at something that wasn't his dream, but they are, and it's for people who are his dream. Same way when children are asked to be obedient to their parents, they're putting themselves aside, and it really all boils down to that fundamental component of fasting, of putting yourself aside for something bigger than you. And family is both the most immediate context that we can do that in, because we're born into a family, and it's also the most maddening and frustrating. It's easier to serve strangers that you don't have a history with and that you'll never see again. But man, oh man, if you can put your history and your decades-long frustrations with this person aside and be Christ-like to them against all odds, that has some value. Mm-hmm. So I agree. Family is definitely primordial arena for that sort of struggle.
Sure. Let me ask you this. When did you graduate from theological school?
In May of 2011.
2011. So you're a graduate of Holy Cross.
Yes, sir.
You know, you speak of your ordination as a watershed moment. So after you graduated Holy Cross School of Theology, which we both graduated from, is it from that moment that you serve someone higher than yourself, Jesus Christ? There's a reality, there's a transformation. Talk to us about that realization and that change in your life.
Well, I think that's where it took on a different dimension. At my ordination to the diaconate, I pointed out, you know, as perhaps some of our listeners don't know, but when you're ordained to both the deacon and the priesthood, the bishop will often invite you to share a few remarks and reflections on the occasion. And on the occasion of my ordination to the diaconate, I made the connection between my old military rank of sergeant and the word deacon, because both sergeant and deacon in their respective languages of French and Greek mean servant. And, you know, in the case of my previous uniform service, and that's what I was doing when I first felt the call to the priesthood, I was called out of that to serve. I was already serving something bigger than myself, and that's one of the great paradoxes for, I think, the civilian when they're looking at soldiers, is you have this group of men and women that you may not even like, and that may not like you, but you all take a bullet for each other. You know, you're going to carry weight for each other. You're going to make sure each other are taken care of and fed, and you may not like each other at all. It's not a function of liking one another. And you may obey each other based on your rank and position, but it's not even a function of, do you think this person is nice or good or pleasant? It's the principle. And then I got called unexpectedly to the priesthood. And when I finally found myself at the theological school and graduating and ordained, that same call of service, which at one point was very localized, very specific, sort of became more general. And suddenly you're getting sent out. You know, our son was about a year and a half, and I had, Presbyter and I had been married for a few years. And suddenly I'm not a part of just one family, I'm a part of many. I'm not beholden to just one household, I'm beholden to many. I think Archbishop Iakovos of blessed memory, in a pamphlet that he wrote for the priests of the Archdiocese, I believe back in the 60s or at some point, it said something to the effect of, and I'm quoting poorly, so forgive me, but he said something to the effect of, priest of God, you are part of households, of many households, but a member of none. What a glorious life this is for you, priest of Jesus Christ. And that really became true. You know, suddenly you're having to serve everyone from the divorcee to the family man to single people to kids to, you know, you're counseling people and they're coming to you with problems. And you can't take the side of your best friend. You have to be the priest both to the one who's in the wrong and the one who's in the right, or who knows if one's in the wrong and right, but you're a priest of both. You're serving people who may have not darkened the church's doorstep in decades, but they've had a tragedy and they need you, and you're there because you're the priest. And, it, you know, it's a service that ends up going not just beyond yourself, but also beyond your own being in every way. Because when they're coming to you, they're not coming to Chris, they're not coming to Michael, they're not coming to Dimitri. They're coming to Father Chris, to Father Michael, to Father Dimitri. And what they're really hoping to encounter is the hand of the Holy Spirit through someone who is an icon of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What they're really hoping is to encounter Jesus Christ. And the reality is, when we fail to do that, what they fail to see is Jesus, and they move farther from that. I have, and perhaps, Father, this has been your experience as well, I have noticed that in the, at our wonderful Holy Hill, which I enjoyed all 4 of my years there, you know, we prepare to answer a great many theological questions, and we encounter, we're prepared to speak up against all the heresies, both modern and ancient. But when I got out into the parish and I was serving all of these people, I never encountered someone who walked away from the church saying to me, you know, Father, I've studied the linguistics and I am convinced that there was a time when the sun is not, and therefore I've chosen to accept Arianism. But instead what they say is, you know, Father, I was going to this church for so many years, and then the priest embarrassed me in front of everyone. Or my parents got divorced, and the whole community turned their back on me, and I just can't believe in your orthodoxy anymore. It's not theoretical. It's very much caught up in the icon, in the person, in the fleshed-out manner in which it is, or rather, failed to be fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And that's where the active component of discipleship becomes so essential, because if people walk away from us, they walk away from him, but it's because of us, and
truly,
we're responsible
truly they do.
For that.
Well, let me ask you briefly 2 more questions. Can you talk briefly about your journey to the faith? Because I think that that's very special, too, for people to hear.
Sure, and I would say, you know, and while that could take up another 20
another
minutes
hours,
on its own, the highlights were this. For me, it was very unexpected. I think as a child, I had what was very much a child's faith and a child's relationship with Christ in the church. And I don't come from a very religious family. I don't come from a family of churchgoers. So we were in church some Sundays they weren't. We weren't. But I was very close with my mother's father, who both of my grandparents and many of my uncles are also veterans, and they were lifelong veterans of the Army, both of my grandfathers. And my mother's father never had any sons, and he always wanted a son, and I was the first grandson. So we were very close. I was it was all the son love with all the grandson spoiling. And I spent my 10th birthday at his funeral. The night before he died, that whole day I was pestering my mom to call him, because I had written a thing about him at school, and I wanted to tell him how much I loved him, and I did. And she finally called him. I finally talked to him. And then the next morning, he had a sudden heart attack while he was gardening. And I spent my 10th birthday at his funeral. And when I returned home, my attitude towards God was very different because I was mystified by this thing that happened. I wanted to know where he went. I wanted to know why. I wanted to know where I could find him. And suddenly, I was reading my Bible constantly. I had a children's Bible with pictures, and if we didn't go to church on a Sunday, I would read it for an hour, and I was looking for that answer. I was trying to figure out where he went. And, you know, eventually during my late teens, I would come into contact with Eastern Christianity. As being raised Roman Catholic, I would come into Eastern Christianity through the Eastern Rites of the Catholic Church, through the Byzantine Catholic Church, and just fall in love with this depth and beauty and richness and continuity with the apostles that exists most fully, most truly in the Eastern Church, and would eventually lend me here. When I was serving in Afghanistan, I didn't think I was going to be called to the priesthood, but then one eventful night, God did. And I knew that I would be able, I knew that this was all I would ever want to do. What is interesting in bringing these things full circle, the last time that I saw my grandfather alive, because he wanted to live to be 100, and he didn't make it nearly that far, but the last time I saw him alive, he said to me, "You'll take care of me when I'm old, right?" And I said, "Yes." And now, as a priest, I actually can. Whereas I put him in a box when I was 10, but now, as a priest, I can pray for a soul. I can intercede for him on a level I couldn't before. And now, it's like I can finally keep that promise. Getting to the other question, it ends up being wrapped up in family all over again.
Finally, Father, let's ask just one more question. What do we need to do in order that we may be led by the Holy Spirit? What is it that we have to do as people today?
Well, you know what? I think this is actually the simplest and quickest one to answer because as I mentioned at the beginning, the notion of being a disciple, of being mathites, is one of being an active learner. And I believe very much in learning by doing. The church has a tremendous program already laid out for us throughout the year of readings, of hymns, of cycles, of repeated readings, of prayer, of daily prayer, of fasting. And if we get out there and do it actively, and that means that we read through the things, we say them, we mean them. And guess what? When we don't know a word, as my father would often tell me whenever I didn't know a word, go look it up. And you take the ownership for your own learning and you say, I'm going to dig into these prayers and these readings. And you say, I don't get what I'm reading. Great. Let me look up all the things about it. And with the internet, that information has never been more accessible in the language of your choice. The number one thing to be led by the Spirit is just to get out there and start doing it. If you don't know where to start, do what's in front of you. If it's Lent, start by doing Lenten things. If it's the normal season after Pentecost, start by doing those things. And you'll find as you start to do just the things that are in front of you, before long you've learned things you never knew existed, and there will be more things in front of you to do. And after a few years, suddenly it's a whole different life. And that's really the form in which the Spirit leads us in the everyday, in the details of our lives. And you're not going to get there by bouncing things around in your head. The way to begin is just by start doing what is immediate in front of you, and the church has provided us with the framework for that all throughout the year. So wherever you find yourself, the time to start is today.
Thank you very much, Father Michael, for being with us today. God bless.
God bless you, Father. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to another edition of Come Receive the Light, a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. If you missed the introduction by Father Chris of Father Marcantoni, he mentioned at the beginning of the conversation that there is a video series called Led by the Spirit, available through our website at myocn.net, hosted by Father Marcantoni. Just go to the website, myocn.net, click on the watch link on the homepage, and Led by the Spirit will pop right up in the middle of that next page. This is a nonprofit outreach. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for joining with us. So many of you financially, you make the difference between us being available here and not being available. If you'd like to join with us and become a financial partner, just click on the donate button on our website. Once again, myocn.net. Until we meet again, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.